Let's take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 20 through 23. Now, let me first give us a summary of what we've seen in creation so far. On day 1, the Lord brought forth the uncreated light, and it was made to shine upon the earth. Now, the light is the Son of God. This light is the Lord Jesus Christ, and it pictures him who came in the flesh. And when God brought forth that light, it spoke to his design to be gracious. He had a purpose of grace, which he would work in the earth that at that time had lay in darkness and was without form and void. It reminds me of what our Lord said in John 3 when he said, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Day 2, we see the firmament, which is a covering in which all living things dwell. It pictures the sin-atoning sacrifice made by the death of Christ in whom his people live. Day 3, we saw the gathering together of the waters, the gathering together by Christ of his people to himself, and the land appeared out of the water. That pictures the resurrection of Christ out from the grave. And we saw the abundance of that land so that it was full of herbs and fruit and it bore that seed after its kind. And that pictures the spiritual seed of Christ's people who are born again of his Holy Spirit. Day 4, we see the ascension and exaltation of Christ and the witness of Christ's work upon the earth. That was declared in the sun, the moon, and the stars, which to this day still testify of that light which God brought upon the earth. They testify of that first uncreated light. And so it is that these things are also a type of the witness which our Savior has left in the earth to declare what he has accomplished for his people. Now in day 5, we have God's creation of the creatures of the sea, the fowl of the air, those are the birds, and God's blessing upon them. I want to show you 3 things under 2 points. First, we're going to see the picture that's declared here in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the creation of these things? How do they picture the gospel of Christ? Second, I want to talk to you about this blessing which God pronounces here on day 5 under 2 headings. First, the universal nature of the blessing, and then the particular nature of the blessing. I title this message, Creatures Blessed of God. So let's begin with this gospel picture here. Everything described in creation literally happened exactly as the scriptures say they did. This is exactly how it happened. But the meaning of these days is declaring to us the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's showing us that God created the heavens and the earth. It's showing us that Christ is preeminent in everything. And so all the laws, everything that we see and understand how it works in nature, was all given by God to work and declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not just happy coincidences that speak of his work of salvation. No, it was given to us to declare. These things work the way they work because they declare what Christ has done for his people. Through days 1 through 4, we saw the coming of Christ. We saw the crucifixion and death of Christ. We saw the resurrection of Christ. We saw the ascension and exaltation of Jesus Christ. And at the end of day four, we have the witnesses which Christ left upon the earth when his work, when his earthly ministry was completed or fulfilled here. And so to this day, the true church bears witness of the light, who is, or the life, who is the light of men. We preach Christ crucified, and that according to the scriptures. So the church is testifying, bearing witness, and we have the scriptures which testify and bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because these scriptures testify of Christ. They speak of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout. And then the third witness which Christ gives us is the witness of the Holy Ghost, who must attend the preaching of that word to make it effectual to the hearts of dead sinners. We would be left dead and lifeless without the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost takes the things of Christ, and he's the one that makes the word effectual, that word preached concerning Christ. He's the one that makes it effectual unto the hearts of his people. John describes it this way in 1 John 5:8. He says, there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water, which is the scriptures, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Why does he say the blood? Because it's the blood of Christ that is the effectual power of Christ's blood, which gives life and salvation to his people who testify of the witness of Jesus Christ and what he's done to redeem his people. He did it. That's the blood. It's testifying of his power, of his glory that saves sinners from death and gives them life in himself. And so Christ's life is manifest in them, and therefore they bear witness and testify of who Christ is and what he does for sinners, what he's done for them in delivering them from death. Now, the blessed effects of that witness on earth is precisely what is seen here in day five. That blessing, that witness, the effect of that of those three witnesses is seen on day five. With the witness of Christ going forth in the earth now, the Spirit, his word, and the redeemed church preaching that gospel word, an abundance of spiritual life is wrought in his people, those who are made to hear the gospel by the grace of God. There's a remnant of living souls pictured in the fowls of the air and the creatures of the waters. And just note that sometimes in scriptures, people are described as waters. In Isaiah 8, verse 7, it describes the king of Assyria's army as being a river of water which overflows its banks and comes in and floods the whole land. They're described as water. And then in Revelation 17, verse 1, it speaks of the whore of Babylon that sits upon many waters. And in verse 15 and 18, it then tells us that those waters are multitudes of peoples and nations and kings. It sits on many waters. And so, just as the sea is not just fish now, but a remnant has been created. It's a remnant of people who have been delivered by the Lord. And just as the sky isn't just covered from end to end with birds, no, it's a remnant of living creatures out of those things that the Lord has saved. Now, with that in mind, let's read verses 20 through 23. Genesis 1. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And so this fifth day pictures the day of grace in which we live, where the Lord is powerfully saving his people. It's the day in which we see the remnant of our God being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. With the work of Christ as the servant of God being completed from his advent, when he was born, all the way until his exaltation and ascension. With that work being accomplished, that work that we now trust in, it's published in the earth, being witnessed by the Spirit and the water and the blood. That is the redeemed. All right, so that's what's pictured here. That's the gospel picture in day five. It's the day of grace that the remnant of God is saved by the preaching of the gospel. This brings us now to this blessing which was spoken of in verse 22. This is the blessing where it says, And God blessed them. This is the blessing that every child of God desperately wants and desperately needs. We want this blessing of God. This is the first time that we read anything about God's blessing in verse 22. And God blessed them. If there's anything that we need or desire, should need or should desire, it's this blessing of God right here. He blesses the fish and the birds. And then after he created Adam and Eve, we're told in verse 28, and God blessed them. In Genesis 9:1, God blessed Noah and his sons. In Genesis 12:2, God told Abraham, I will bless thee. The blessing of God in Scripture, that one that I want, is the blessing given in grace. It's given by God to undeserving sinners. People who did nothing to deserve it. Nothing to earn God's favor or blessing. It's freely given by God to whom he will bless. Turn over to Numbers chapter 6. Let's look at one strong example of this blessing of God. In Numbers 6, and it's going to be in verses 22 through 27. It says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, these are the high priests, saying, or these are the priests, rather, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. You see, when man gives his blessing on another man, it's only fleshly, it's only temporary, it's only carnal. It has no lasting, eternal blessing. Only God can give that eternal blessing. He's the one that does it. Now, verse 25 through 27. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Every one of these blessings spoken of here are given by God to his child in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of those is in Christ. His face, which it speaks of here, is the blessing of the face of Jesus Christ. It's in Christ that we know God. He says, He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. We know the true and living God by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God reveals himself to us. We know him through Christ. You'll remember in 2 Corinthians 4:6, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, this creation account here, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is the face that God is talking about. That's the blessing of God, that we know Him through His Son, through the face of Jesus Christ. And then He says, the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. God is just to be gracious to His people. Why? Because He sent His Son to propitiate the wrath of God, to appease the wrath of God by putting it away, by satisfying the justice of God in Himself for His people. And that's why God is just to be gracious to His people. God doesn't just wink His eye. Well, I'll just pretend I didn't see that. That's not how God does it. He paid for every sin of His people. He put them away justly, fully, satisfactorily. And so God is just to be gracious to you, His chosen people. It's a blessing for God also to lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This is speaking of the fellowship. When you behold someone's countenance, it's in fellowship with them. You're meeting with them. You know them. You're speaking with them. That fellowship has been established for us, given to us by the reconciliation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what He's done. Because of that reconciliation, we have peace with God in the mediator, Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and men. And so we now enjoy that fellowship because the enmity which is in us by nature has been taken away by Christ. And you that know Him, it's because the enmity, you that believe Him, it's because the enmity has been put away by Christ. And He puts His name upon His people. Speaking of Christ, the prophet Jeremiah said this, this is His name. He's speaking of Christ. This is His name wherewith He shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And then 10 chapters later, speaking of we, the church of Christ, He says, this is the name wherewith she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. All you ladies here took the name of your husband. You all took the name of your husband. The church takes the name of her husband, the Lord, our righteousness. He's our righteousness. And God said, I will bless them. If you are in Christ, you are blessed of God. You are as safe and protected as those eight souls whom the Lord put in the Ark of Noah. That's how safe you are. The wrath of God came down from above and waters rose up from beneath and were all around that ark. And if you were outside the ark, you were in the judgment of God yourself with nothing standing between you and holy God. But those eight souls in the ark were safe and protected and sound. They went through the judgment safe and carried through in the ark, which is Jesus Christ. We found grace in the eyes of the Lord by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I said there would be two other headings with regards to this blessing. First is the universal nature of this blessing which is seen in our Savior. Every day of creation declares the person and work of Jesus Christ. God is declaring to all men everywhere, there is one God, one Savior, one salvation. There's not many roads which lead to God. Anyone who says, it doesn't matter how you come to God as long as you're sincere. You can come to Him through the Catholicism. You can come to Him through Muhammad. You can come to Him through Buddha or Confucian or anything you make up. That's a lie. That is a bold-faced lie. We cannot, there's not many roads that lead to God. There's but one Savior, one salvation. As Christ himself said, there's no man as loving, as gracious as the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. None, therefore, are excluded from the preaching of this gospel. Why? Because there's only one gospel. And those that are the Lord's must hear this gospel. God will. He must bring this word to his people wheresoever they are. One Savior is what Jesus Christ was preaching to Nicodemus. One Savior. In John 3:16, that wonderful scripture which says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. People often go to that verse trying to defend or teach the lie, which is universal atonement. That's not what Christ is saying there. That's not what he's teaching. What he's teaching there is a universal Savior in that there is but one Savior. There's only one Savior. There's one God, one Savior, one salvation. It's accomplished in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his people are scattered throughout the world. That's what he's saying. He's talking to Nicodemus, who's a Jew. And the Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he would establish an earthly Jewish kingdom that would subjugate the Gentiles and step on them and make them their servants and their slaves. And Christ is correcting Nicodemus, saying, no, Nicodemus, I am the Savior of both Jew and Gentile. He's saying, whosoever believeth in the only begotten Son, whether he be Jew or Gentile, will not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. Now, let me give you some scriptures to back that up. Looking at Isaiah 49, let's go to Isaiah 49, verse 6. The Father is speaking to his Son. Isaiah 49, 6. The Father is speaking to the Son. And God said, it is a light thing. This is too easy, too small, that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel, the remnant of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. He's saying, you're the Savior of all my people scattered throughout the earth. The Apostle Peter declared in Acts 4:12, saying, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If God saves you, he's going to save you in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not many roads that lead to God. There's one sufficient, perfectly sufficient road of salvation. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's the way to the Father. If God has blessed you, you will be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what our God declares. There is one Savior, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And so the blessing of God that we want and that we need is Jesus Christ. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 7. I'm just going to read them and you'll see why. Ephesians 4:4, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And so this brings us now to our second header, where we see the particular nature of this blessing. We've seen the universal nature in that there is but one Savior for all the earth. There's one Savior. Now we're going to see its particular application by God to His people. Paul said there in Ephesians 4:7, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Who is this us spoken of here? Well, according to the scriptures, it's speaking specifically and only of believers. All men have not been given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, but believers have. Believers have been given the grace of God. That's why they believe, because God has been gracious to them and has revealed faith in them, which looks to and trusts in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, rather than trusting their own works of righteousness. Our trust and hope and confidence is fixed in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and not in what I do or don't do. It looks to Christ. We see this particular blessing of God throughout the scriptures. And we're going to go to John chapter 10. John 10. Let's look at a few verses here. In John 10, we'll pick up in verse 11. Christ tells all those that were standing there hearing him preach. There was a lot of people, a big mixed congregation, mostly people who did not believe him. And he said, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Christ is narrowing down those for whom he gave his life. He's narrowing it down to a specific people and declaring them to be his sheep. That's who he gave his life for. Now look at verse 14. "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." There were many there that did not believe that he was the Christ. They had their doubts. They just looked at him as another man. Maybe a prophet, but not the Savior. But he did have some of his sheep there present in that hour. He had his disciples, and they believed him because they are his sheep. Then he gives a nod to the Gentiles. Look at verse 16. Those who would eventually hear and see that light and believe. He says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold." They're not Jews. "But them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." So that there is but one church made up of Jew and Gentile. And then the division happens, because Christ divides his people. There are sheep and there are goats. And he tells us that he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. So looking at verses 17 through 19, we see this division begin to take shape. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." And it tells us there was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. The natural man does not like hearing that he's not the determining factor in salvation. God is. God is. And the carnal nature is enmity against God and despises to hear that God is the one that determines my salvation. You're saying I can't take Christ's life when I want to and make it mine? No. Christ says, No man taketh my life from me. I give my life. I lay it down. I lay it down for my sheep. You can't just appropriate it to yourself. It's for my sheep. I give it. I give my life for the sheep. In another scripture, in Psalm 3:8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And listen to this. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Lord, is thy blessing for all men everywhere? No, it's for thy people. It's for thy people. Psalm 3:8. And so here we see now in John 10:26-28, he says, but ye, you Jews who are hearing me and despising, hating that salvation is the work of God, and that he sent me to lay down my life for my sheep, you despise that. But he says now, but ye believe not, because you're not my sheep, as I said unto you. Notice he doesn't say, but because you don't believe me, you're not my sheep. He says, you don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What's he saying? He's saying the blessing of God is upon his people. That's the blessing that God's people need. And that's the blessing he gives freely according to his grace and purpose. So we see there's a particular blessing of God witnessed in his people by the gift of faith, which he gives to his people freely. Turn now to Romans 9. Romans 9, and let's pick up in verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Here the scriptures are speaking of that particular blessing of God in Christ for his people. Verse 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. God blessed Jacob with the blessing of salvation. He did not bless Esau with that blessing of salvation. He passed by Esau, and he did not bless him because Esau is a goat. But Jacob is a sheep for whom Christ gave his life. And that particular blessing was given to God's child, to Jacob. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Paul says, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that this is not fair. God can't do this. Oh, yes, he can. He's not unjust at all. Why? Because he tells Moses, he says in his word, he saith to Moses, I will, verse 15, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's neither your will nor your works that save you, that obtain this blessing of God for yourselves. It's purely by the good will and purpose of God according to his own will and purpose, what he would do in himself. He's determined to do this by himself. So God is telling us that his blessings are particular for his people. There's one Savior. And thankfully, this Savior is the Savior of both Jew and Gentile. There's no type of man, no race of man that's being excluded. Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, male or female, educated or uneducated, free man or slave, king, or the lowest person, a street sweeper, it doesn't matter who or what you are. Christ has his people scattered throughout the world. He saves all whom he will. We see this in Revelation 5, 9 through 10. Let's go there. Revelation 5. It says, Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Right? The blood witnesses whose are Christ's. Right? And here's the particulars defined. You've redeemed them out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Not every person without exception, but some from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. I do that now because I would always forget what that means. You know, some people put like they get a tattoo, like, fear this, you know, and like they put it on their knuckles. Well, I think of KTPN, KTPN. It's just how I remember kindred, tongue, people, nation. All right? And so the Lord has his people in every nation, of every people. Preach the gospel to all, because the Lord has his people scattered among the nations, scattered among the people that you know and fellowship with or are friends with or in your family. He's got his people. But not everyone is redeemed by Christ, but those who enjoy this blessing, they were redeemed by Christ. And he says in verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's not said of every man, but of every kind of man, of every type, of every kindred, of every tongue, of every people, of every nation, because there's only one Savior given to all his people scattered throughout the world. Last, let's turn to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, in that one salvation. Every blessing that we have is in Christ, and it's never outside of him. According, verse 4, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we, like Jacob, should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. There's no mention of your will or mine. It's God's will that determines who are blessed by him. To the praise, verse 6, of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath abounded, or wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not my works, but his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, his sheep, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. All things, all his chosen seed, in the Lord Jesus Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He does not need or look for any outside influence from us. He's already done exactly what is perfect, good, righteous and holy according to his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And we know that the Father is the one who first trusted in Christ. And what it's saying there is that the Father is absolutely brilliant in entrusting the sheep whom he chose and committing them to the care of Christ, by putting his people in Christ's care to obtain their salvation perfectly, because there was no way we were going to save ourselves in Adam. Just was not going to happen. And none of his people are lost because Christ is perfect. So day five is the day of grace, when it's witnessed and heard by the sheep of our Savior, who for whom he laid down his life, made to hear and to live by his grace. This blessing is universal in that there is but one Savior. There's one salvation. There's one God. There's one way of salvation. This is the way that all God's people come to him, is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this blessing is particular in that his chosen people are the ones whom the Father blesses. His chosen people, he gives them to Christ, and they do come, because he has given his life, shed his blood to redeem them, and give them life in himself. This is the glorious salvation of his grace. Amen.